Let all that is within me praise the Lord. We've been talking the last number of weeks about how love works. And I'm glad that love works in all of our hearts and in all of our stuff. Bible says that while we were in our sin, Christ died for us. Love works for us. Love works in us. Love works through us. You know, as in the next number of weeks, and even when we come back, I hope to give you a new perspective. Oh, wait a minute. We just need some new vision. We need some vision as to what Christ has worked in us and what Christ has worked for us. But we do need to have renewed vision. We need to have some vision as to who we are in Christ Jesus. And you need to know who Christ is in you. Praise God. How many of you do this kind of thing? Just a minute, I got to take my picture. We call them selfies. At least the young people do. I don't have mine on, so I'm not going to even look at myself. I should have done it with the glasses on. But everyone is into selfies these days. You see the kids, and oh, I see some adults too. We're taking pictures of ourselves, and we wanted to be included with some wonderful people, and you know, maybe there's some important people, and maybe there's some people that, well, to be honest with you, you just can't wait to get associated with them, and you might not even know them real well, but if you take a selfie with them in the background, looks really good, doesn't it? You see. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that selfie life. In maybe a little bit different way than what you expect. In fact, I would like to talk a little bit about, I was thinking about it this morning. Don't ask me why I was thinking about it. I was thinking about my nicknames when I was in high school. They used to call me Big Bird. Another name they used to call me was JJ. If you've ever seen the TV program Good Times, well, some of my friends thought I was like JJ. Keep dynamite! And I'd put on the act and act the part of it. I don't know what. But we do sometimes, we try and be somebody else because sometimes we don't necessarily like ourselves. We would rather we have heroes that we look up to and we would rather be like them. I want us to look at two J's, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. And really, both of their lives are very different. In fact, one is our pattern for us. I want to look at the gentleman Jacob in the Old Testament, and I want to look at Jesus as a pattern for how we should live. And you might say, well, how in the world can you draw a comparison between them? I'm not going to compare them. But I'm going to show you their lives and how they can help us to show us a picture of what can happen in our lives. But before we do that, let me ask the Lord to bless this offering and bless our time together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one that's bowed in your presence right now. In your presence, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for that freedom that there is in your spirit. We draw grace upon grace, and everything within me desires to praise you. I thank you for the offering that's been received. I ask, Lord, you would bless each home that it represents and each life that it represents. And I ask, Lord, that you would pour into them today in Jesus' name. I thank you and give you the honor and glory. Give us ears to hear. Amen. We're going to learn from the life of Jacob and from the life of Jesus. We're going to learn that in order to find our true selves, there are some things that we need to let go. And we need to stop pretending of how we think we ought to be and to who we think we are, and to take hold of what God says and live in that identity and follow Him in obedience to Him. We're going to look at a couple of portions of scriptures, and for sake of time, I'm just going to mention to you where they are. You can jot them down in your books or on your device or on a piece of paper, the references to them, because I will refer to them but not read the entire passage for the sake of time. One is in Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 to 26. I was going to show them on the screen, but I'm not going to read them like I said. Genesis 25, verses 21 to 26. Genesis 32, verses 22 to 31. You can also look at, for the sake of reference, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and verses 13 to 17. You see, in Genesis 32 is the story of Jacob. Jacob wrestles physically with God for a whole night. How many slept well last night? Oh, nobody slept well? Woo! Everybody's tired out. Big holiday. Well, it's obvious that Jacob did not sleep, but he wrestles with God all night. All his life, Jacob had been a wrestler. He even wrestled with his twin brother Esau while they were still in their mother's womb. There is a conflict that goes on inside each of us. Just as Jacob wrestled with his family, he wrestled with God, he wrestles himself to find himself, we wrestle in the conflict between who we think we are and what we're supposed to be and who we really are. This struggle, everyone tries to overcome. They try and capture it. It's this thinking that actually many times hinders our individual walk with God and may even keep us from fulfilling the purpose of God. Jacob has an attitude. And by the way, it's an absolutely miserable place to be. Jacob is always trying to be first. When he came out, he was actually grabbing onto his brother's heel. Even as a baby, he subconsciously wanted to get ahead. Jacob had a me first mentality. We live in a culture like that. We live in a culture, a me first culture. Yeah, maybe we don't recognize it, but maybe subconsciously we strive to be recognized. We take pride in a particular possession. We take pride in having more of that possession. And perhaps maybe it's more than someone else. We want to be thinner. We want to be smarter. We want to be better. Somebody recognized the other day we were playing a video game and that I'm very competitive. Oh, no one else is competitive. So don't chew me out. You know, I hear that there is some relatively really good ping pong players in our midst. I may not beat you, but I'll sure try. I'll give it all I have. If it's basketball, if it's a video game, if it's foosball, I like to be competitive, and I'll be sore along with you when I'm done. Yes. Jesus said something really interesting in Luke chapter 9. He said, "What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own very self, your own soul, your own self?" We all grasp onto things like status and security. But in the process of grabbing at stuff, we run the risk of losing our very selves. Do you suppose that the reason that Jesus told the rich man to sell all he had and give it to the poor is that that particular gentleman had a problem being a selfie, self-made? He was so succumbed by all the pleasures and all the stuff he had. But you see, God cannot bless those who pretend to be somebody else or something else or to hide in the shadows of self. When Jacob was younger, he tricked his father into giving him the blessing that was meant for his older brother, Esau. You can read about it in Genesis 27 and even chapter 28. He even dressed up in animal skin and pretended to be Esau to steal the blessing. We all put costumes on to get things we need. We all have a gap between the person we want to be and the person we are. So we create, as it were, a fake identity to bridge the gap. Jacob got the blessing by pretending to be somebody else, to be someone he wasn't. But because of this deception, he had to spend 20 years on the run from Esau. Jacob got exactly what he wanted. But you know what? He was never able to enjoy it. He was always looking over his shoulder. We cannot enjoy the blessings of God when we pretend to be or try to be somebody or take something that somebody else has. We can take the selfie and feel good for a time. Oh, we may get the blessing, all right. But when we pretend or try to receive something that is not ours, we can get blessed, but you won't fully enjoy it. Change brings its own conflict. Jacob was 97 years old when he wrestled with God. He had conned his way through life. This time, at this stage in his life, this time was a turning point. He had to wrestle with God all night. God would Jacob would not let him go. Jacob refused to let go until God blessed him. When God asked his name, he already knew his name, but he said, Jacob. In that moment, God renamed him Israel. Isn't that interesting? Jacob had finally gotten a hold of God. And God was the only one who could truly bless him. And he wouldn't let go. The first key to finding the very self that our very identity is to make a decision not to let God go. You have to make a decision. I'm going to serve the Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. Jacob had to decide not to let go. This blessing was going to be something more than he'd ever experienced before in all of his life. He had gotten a hold of God. Jacob didn't tap out on him. He wasn't about to give up. And God didn't tap out on him. And he didn't give up on his problems. Hold on to the promise of God. Even after Jacob's name had been changed, the Bible continues to call him both Jacob and Israel. This is interesting. He was talked about the covenant that was made between Abraham, Isaac. He didn't say Israel. He said Jacob. Isn't that interesting? The Bible continues to call Jacob and Israel, because this change is conflicting. There is a process to it. In Exodus chapter 3, God told Moses that he would call, that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He didn't say Israel, he said Jacob. He wanted to be known as the God of the guy who was the deceiver. He didn't cast him aside. God is not just the God of the parts of us that are pretty. He is the God of our failures and of our selfishness and all the stuff. Everything in our lives will be changed as we submit. Yet God says, I will be the God of Jacob too. There's going to be change. I'm going to give him a new name. Wow. Earlier I said, in order to find our true selves, we need to let go of who we pretend to be and what and who we think we are and take hold of what God says and live in that identity and obedience to him. Now, it's interesting. In the Old Testament, they got a name change. But in the New Testament, we receive something far more than a new name. Glory to God! In the New Testament era, God doesn't give us a new name, but he gives us a new identity. That identity is only found in Jesus. It is something that happens on the inside. Our new identity happens when we surrender our lives completely to him. I have decided to follow Jesus. Paul writes, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. Then he said that we have been gifted by God and we're to serve him. You notice it doesn't say you have to be baptized to be saved. Did you notice that? He just says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Paul was in jail one time, him and Silas. And there's an earthquake going on. There was an earthquake going on, and so a lot of the guys, their cages and gates were opened. The jailer, he thinks all is lost. He's going to be killed. And the jailer comes out, and he was scared. He was scared to death. And this jailer says to Paul and Silas, he says, What do I have to do to be saved? And here's what he said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Now, watch this carefully, because there's many people that feel, you know, that will say, well, if the parents are saved, everybody else is automatically saved. But that's not what he said. What he was simply saying is this in context. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you will be saved. And everybody else in your household, they can be saved too if they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When Paul in Romans was talking about salvation, here's what he said. Listen to this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. He didn't say, well, you better be baptized to be saved. He just said, you believe in your heart, then you will be saved. You will be baptized. But you got to be baptized to be saved, somebody will ask. No, salvation and baptism are two different things. Okay? You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Now, after making those remarks about baptism, let me explain this to you. We can learn about from the life of Jesus about baptism. In fact, John was going around and he was doing baptism. And John says, I baptize you with water. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is far greater than I. And later on, Jesus is walking down the road towards John the Baptist. And Jesus actually went from Galilee to Jordan. And I'm going to see in a few weeks, we're going to see where that is. But Jesus goes from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. Now, you'll see where I'm going with this in a moment. John tried to talk Jesus out of it. John says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. But he said, so why are you coming to me? And Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. In fact, in King James, he says it like this, to fulfill all righteousness. Praise God. So, John agrees to baptize him. And after his baptism, Jesus comes out of the water. The heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven says, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. So John is down at the water baptizing, and he's requiring people to be baptized as a sign as that they have repented of their sin. So they enter into what is called the baptism of repentance. Okay. Why is baptism necessary? The scripture says, beginning in verse 13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan coming to John to be baptized. And again, a little bit later in King James, it says, to fulfill all righteousness. Why did Jesus come to John at the Jordan? Well, obviously to be baptized. But Jesus says, John, this is necessary in order to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the requirements of God. In other words, in order for me to be obedient to my heavenly Father, I must be baptized to satisfy the requirement of God. Now listen to this. This is very important. Jesus, in being baptized, he himself, he identifies with man. He came in the flesh. We celebrate his birth. But you see, Jesus was also identifying himself with sinful man. He was sinless. He was the perfect Son of God who would die for their sin. But it was the will of the Father that he walk among us for approximately 3 years or so. And he began his ministry to identify with sinful man. So what Jesus was coming to do was to identify, but then to symbolically do something that was going to happen. For Jesus would die for our sin. He would be buried. He would be resurrected. And in the process, the Father gives his confirmation of the thing. And the scripture says that the heavens were rolled back. And the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Son of God was baptized. He came for a specific reason. As we said, when he was baptized, the Father gives his approval. Now, that says something to me very clearly, that baptism is very, very significant. If it was not significant, Jesus would not have been baptized himself. Jesus says to his disciples later on in ministry, he says, as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to what? Observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am going to be with you every step of the way. So now Jesus was baptized. The Father shows his approval. He gave the authorization, the command, because of all authority that was given to him to go and baptize and teach them. Now let me ask you a question. Is baptism important to you? You see, the Old Testament, you got a name. In the New Testament, you get a new birth. You get a transformation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay. Now some, you've been saved, but you may have not have been baptized. Well, why not? Why haven't you been baptized? Baptism is for believers. Baptism makes a statement that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins have been forgiven. And now I died to my old selfie. I walk and I choose a new walk and a new life in Jesus Christ. It is a public testimony. I'm not living for myself. I am not posing, or am I living for myself? In fact, that Greek word baptism means to be immersed. Jesus was immersed in water. And so when we are baptized, we are also immersed in water. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And let me ask the question, what significance does sprinkling have? I just asked the question. Immersion says, I died to my old way of life by the grace of God, and I've been forgiven of my sin. I am buried with Him. That is, I am dead to my old life. I rise in newness of life. Paul says it over and over and over again, talks about the newness of life. Sometimes I think that people just don't know the importance of baptism. And some are, they just don't have the courage to say in front of others, yes, I trust in Jesus. Some have never had the opportunity after they've accepted Christ. So they wait until they're 21, 50. I'm a follower of Jesus. Who is it you're afraid of to acknowledge before men that you are? You want to say, I'm a follower of Jesus. You have to ask yourself. You need to come to the place. I don't want the selfie life anymore. I don't want the way I've walked anymore. I do not want to walk my selfish way anymore. I want something more than a name change. I want that part to be a part of the New Testament pattern. I want to accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and then I want to enter into the waters of baptism to acknowledge before others that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, which is a symbol of what Christ did, but a symbol of what happens to you. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, He's changed your life. You've died to the old way of life. And then in that dying part, in this process, you choose. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. Baptism is for believers. It is not for unbelievers. You know, and I thank God I've had people throughout the years, they've told me how they were sprinkled and those kinds of things. And thank God for parents that really want, they're just doing the best that they know. Thank God for that. They just want the best for their child. But I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Every single believer has this in common. Every single believer. Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven. Until then, I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. And I'm going to be a part of a big family. I'll tell you what water baptism does. It drives the stake in. Yes, it does. I am a follower of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. Now, in the light of that, I'm going to ask the question. Have you been saved? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you acknowledged that Jesus has paid the price for you and that He has forgiven you? You see, there isn't anything more that He is going to do to forgive you of your sin. He's already forgiven you. The price has already been paid, praise the Lord. He forgives you. He removes that sin as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't go fishing for your wrongs. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I always say that. When you come to Christ, He throws it in His sea of forgetfulness. The Bible says this. He throws it in His sea of forgetfulness. And He posts no fishing. He won't go fishing for you for your sin. But oftentimes we want to ignore the sign and go back in. And, He forgives you. Writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Spirit of God begins to dwell in you at that moment. And He's there to give you guidance and direction all the days of your life. If you've never trusted Him as Savior, you are separated from Him. You will eternally be separated from Him until you do. So what are you going to do about it? You say, well, I'm saved now. I know I've been saved. Well, life is more than just, like I mentioned earlier, it's more than a name change like Jacob's. It's not a self-life anymore. You do not live for yourself. We do not focus on ourselves. We are not taking pictures of ourselves for ourselves. But what we have received by faith is an identity that is marked with the finished work of the one who did the work for us. And by faith and trust in him, he can keep you from falling, and we just need to testify and stake our claim that we are his. Praise the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you give us commands and you make them clear. We are so grateful for Jesus and how he identified with mankind in baptism. But also, he did not stop there, but he actually was crucified, died, and buried for us. Thank you, he did not stay dead, but has risen, was risen on the third day according to your plan. And all of this for mankind. How grateful you are, how grateful we are that you gave us the gift of baptism so that we would dig our stake in to drive it down in our life. Not an instance, not an experience, but an unforgivable time with you, showing that we are buried, our old self is buried, and we have arisen in you. It's my prayer that everyone listening to this message will soberly, seriously consider where they're at. And whatever you require of them, they will be willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you received the Lord Jesus in your heart since you heard? You do not have to leave today without entering and receiving salvation for yourself. And if that is you, you want to accept Christ, whether that be for a first time or whether you just want to recommit your life, I'm going to sing the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Why don't you come and just sit on this front pew and let us minister to you after some of the others, folks have all, that's you. And if you're here and you have been saved and you would like to be water baptized, we would be delighted to have a water baptismal service in a few weeks. We can prepare. If you wish to be water baptized and say, I stake my place, I stake my ground. I am not satisfied with just a name change. I am not satisfied with just a heart change, but I want to share with my friends. I want to share a testimony of my faith, of that work of Christ in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's been spoken. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken it clearly. We ask, Lord, that you would direct us in it, in Jesus' name, in the next moments, in the next coming days. We give you honor and glory. We thank you. Now, Lord, we also pray for Lloyd and Wilma. They will be on their way south for a few months. But right now, Lord, they need a touch in their body. Thank you that distance is not a problem with you. We're here and they're in their home. But I'm asking, Spirit of God, that you would make yourself so very real to them. They will know and sense your presence now and will feel that touch in their body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we also pray for Florence. She's been home a number of weeks. And I'm asking you, Father, that you would go into her room where she is right now. And I ask that you would strengthen her. Now, your word declares that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm asking you, Lord, that as she dwells on you and your goodness, that you would fill her with an unusual joy, and that you would bring strength to her in Jesus' name. And the things that she is going through, I ask to touch. Thank you. Glory to God. Stand with me, please. Now, Father, as a congregation, we come to you. We've worshiped you. We've heard from your word. Now I ask that you would go before us. That even as we go out these doors, we'll realize and recognize that we've been in your presence. And we recognize that we don't stop being in your presence, but your presence is always with us. That you would go with them in their going out and their coming in their rising up and their sitting down. And I'm asking you, Father, that you would give them 2020 vision for this new year. You'll instill within them a faith they have not known before, in Jesus' name. I'm asking you to stir up the gift that's in them. Stir it. Stir it, Lord. Stir it, Lord. Stir it, Lord. Stir dreams and stir visions. Stir your word in them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we bless them in your name as they go out challenged, renewed, and quickened in a new way. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, now, don't forget to greet one another and don't leave anybody out.